One, thank you for coming out on this somewhat gray, late summer Alaskan day. It's good to see everyone. We normally don't have a baby blessing, but I think that it's really important, and we'll see why a little bit later in my talk today. The miracle of life and what the beauty and the perfection of that baby is. Once there were two groups of tribes. One group of tribes lived high in the mountains, and the other group of tribes lived in the valley below. And one day, one of the tribes of the mountains came down into the valley and raided the small village, and they stole their food, and they killed. And then they escaped and went back into the mountains. And with them, they stole a baby. And they took the baby back to the mountains. The other valley villages got together, and the strongest men, the best warriors, the most empowered, powerful men got together and decided to go up into the mountains and raid the mountain people and take back what had been taken, including the baby. And so they formed this strong army, if you will, a group of men, and they went into the mountains, and they climbed, and they climbed, and it got harder and harder, and the hills were steeper, and they couldn't find where to go, and the trails were weaving back and forth, and they got dangerous, and there were cliffs and drop-offs, and they had a harder and harder time as they went. And finally, they reached a place where there was no further they could go up. It was a straight up and down cliff, and the only way back down was a dangerous way back down the way they had come, and they were vulnerable then to attack from the other people, and they didn't know what to do, and they had a conference, and they all got together, and they decided that it wouldn't be worth it to lose all of their lives, and so that what they would do would be to retreat, and they would go back down the mountain without getting vengeance or getting the baby back. And as they prepared to go, they heard something, and they looked up, and coming down the trail was a young woman. It was the mother of that little baby. And on her back, she was carrying that baby. And the leader of the army said, how did you do this? How could you do something that this army of strong men, trained warriors, fighters, and you alone could go do something that we couldn't do? And she looked at him and she said, you're not his mother. Today's talk title is Kindness Toward Ourselves, and it's the third week in August. The first week, our theme for August was kindness. The first week we talked about CIA, compassion in action, and how important it is that we take action. The second week we talked about accepting what is, and that doesn't mean rolling over or settling for less, but it means accepting the things that we cannot change. Today we're going to talk about kindness toward ourselves. Had a program for the next 2 weeks, but yesterday I was really moved, and those plans are out the window. The next 2 weeks are going to be talking, and I don't have titles yet or anything like that, but the life-changing power of taking a stand. The life-changing power of taking a stand. So I hope you'll join me as we look at that topic. So today, kindness toward ourselves. I'm going to start off talking about what is love. Now, I realized I could do a six-week series on what is love, but I'm going to take one facet of that today. Secondly, I'm going to talk about what kind of love do I practice? And thirdly, I'm going to talk about as within, so without. So first of all, what is love? And like I say, I'm only going to look at one facet of it. The way that I look at this particular facet of what is love, there are two components. One is divine love or agape or God's love, and the other is very human love. And the one way that we can distinguish between those two is that human love often has an opposite, whereas God's love is consistent and there is nothing opposing it. Example, now I am a carnivore, I admit it. I love a good steak. I mean, a New York or a rib steak, lightly marbled, not too much fat. It needs to be thick. You don't want anything, 2 inches, 2.5 inches thick, grilled over a charcoal fire, and I've got my own little recipe. Secret ingredient is kosher salt. It melts and goes into the meat itself. I love a good steak. Now, anchovies, not so much. I wouldn't say I hate anchovies, but I'm not really fond of anchovies. So we can tell that this love of this steak is a very human type of a love, because I have an opposite to it in it. I hate anchovies. God's love, divine love, has no opposite. This is the love that a painter has for his canvas, a musician has for his instrument, or the love that a mother has for her child. That is divine love. Now, Ernest Holmes teaches us not to deny the condition, but rather affirm and declare that it has no power over us. So in the absence of love, we can rely on the infinite. We can rely on that which never changes. We can rely on that which is perfect. So what kind of love do I practice? Well, a good way to determine what kind of love we are practicing is to look at our self-talk. Are we saying, oh, I can't do that, I'm too old. I'm carrying around this beer belly, I can never do that. I'm too short, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough, I don't have enough education. Or are we saying life empowering things about ourselves? Are we saying I can do that? That I am bigger than that, that that is the condition, and I am greater than the condition. If when we're saying negative things about ourselves, that's just putting more anchovies into your life. Ernest Holmes said, "The God of love cannot hear the prayer of the one who fails to love." The God of love cannot hear the prayer of the one who fails to love. And yet when we can turn that negative into a positive, we can bring more love into our lives. In the 365 days of richer living, Holmes said, "We should believe that God is the invisible partner in our lives and affirm that divine love goes before us and prepares the way." Divine love goes before us and prepares the way. So when life starts tasting more and more like anchovy and less like a New York steak, we'd be well to look at ourselves talk. Thirdly, as within, so without. We cannot begin to embody God-quality love for others until we are ready to embody God-quality love for ourselves. We must start loving ourselves as God loves us. We must duplicate the nature of God as love in our own hearts and minds. As we stand in the conviction of unconditional positive regard for ourselves, those seeds are planted and we begin to reap the rich harvest of perfect love. It's when we can stand in that conviction of our own divinity, of our own perfection, turning away from conditions, turning away from that which is temporary and only embracing that which is everlasting, that which is true with a capital T. Think again about what you say to yourself when you've made a mistake. What do you say to yourself when you've made a mistake? What would God say to you? Because God is you. God is within you. God is within each and every one of us at this and in every moment. What God would say to you is nothing different than what the divine is always telling each and every one of us at every moment. You are my beloved. And I am well pleased. The takeaway for today, what I want you to carry away, I'm asking you to love fully, starting within, practicing that perfect and unconditional regard for yourself until it spills out of your own hearts and into the lives and hearts of others. In this way, we become a surrendered instrument to the perfect love of God expressing as us. And so with an awareness of that perfect love of God that is within each and every one of us, I had asked my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in just loving this community. Loving themselves, just as we could see the divine perfection in Elias. We see that that divine perfection is within each and every one of us at every moment. We see past the conditions. We see past mistakes. We see past errors or things that are judged by others to be less than perfect. We see beyond all of that and only see the truth. And it is in each and every situation. It is within every act. It is within everything that we do. We are individualized expressions of the Most High. And the Most High did not make a mistake when He made each and every one of us. And so I know that as we live and move in this earthly plane and we go about our lives and the things that we face challenges of health. We know that there's a spiritual truth of perfection. We face challenges of prosperity and abundance and lack and limitation, and we can see beyond that lack and limitation and know that we do indeed live in an abundant universe. We turn our backs on the condition and we embrace the truth. And I speak my word now for anyone who is feeling that sense of separation, that sense of disconnect from one another as human beings. Separation from God. We know that it's impossible to be separate from God. That God is alive and well within each and every one of us. And so even though there's an appearance of conflict, we know that that's only an appearance. And the truth in every relationship is that we are all beautiful, beloved children of God. And so now I just give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of that presence in Elias, in Katie, and Jim, and in each and every one of us in every moment. And so I just release these words to the working of a law that always responds. And so it is.